We'll be in Galatians 5 in just a minute and Matthew 26 as well. But I just wanted to mention this is a family Sunday. We do this every 3-4 months here at Living Hope. Family Sunday, kids get to stay downstairs. Adults get to stay downstairs. But for those of you adults who can be a little wiggly, we do have like a more active sort of zone upstairs. So if the wiggles start to get a little much for you adults, just know nobody will judge you if you head out the back door and up the stairs. We'll have some activities. And for those of you who stay downstairs, we'll have some activities as well. Got a little bit of stuff right over here. So going to do that to help us learn the Lord's word this morning. But wanted to mention as we start out, I'm going to take a minute and pray for the Mashpee High School community, students and faculty. Many of you have heard, I see some heads nodding even now, but there was a car accident last week that took the life of a Mashpee High School student, and it's creating lots of grief. And this is a church that cares about the youth of our community. Yes. We have Youth for Christ meeting here each week and doing camps and lots of other activities to have a ministry to youth around the Cape. And none of our youth are directly involved, but you know, the youth involved who are most hurting right now are youth that know the youth who come to our church regularly and come to Youth for Christ regularly. So it's something that is connected to us. And I just wanted to ask you to be praying as we continue in worship, to pray for the Mashpee High School community, the faculty, families, students, and others, because it affects their hearts. It affects their lives. And I just need to pray that the Lord shows them the same love we were talking about, that Rich just talked about, hope being poured in. Love being poured in. That's what we need. So I appreciate what you shared, Rich, more than I probably realized until I came up here and just thought about. That's what our prayers are. So please join me in prayer for them and for our service. Father, we're grateful to be in worship. So much of what you have taught us to do in our own lifetime, but really for centuries, you've been teaching your people to worship you. And it means praying and calling you Father. And it means reading your word and learning it. And it means greeting each other and smiling and hugging. And it means loving and caring for our community. And it means learning and growing. And so we pray for all of these things to continue as we spend time in your presence. Our Father, your children, here we are together, gathered around your goodness, gathered around your glory, gathered around your praise. But we recognize at the same time, as much as we want to grow and we ask for the blessing of your word to be more real to us this morning, we also pray for the Mashpee High School community, for faculty there, for students there, for families. We know that this is a time of challenging pain, confusion. This is a hardship for them, and it spreads throughout many relationships and many people connected to them. And we just ask for your comfort. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your power. We ask that that same Holy Spirit who's working in our hearts, working in our minds, would be working in the hearts and the minds of some people in new ways. We pray that love would increase. We pray that hope would increase. And we know that as painful as this has been, nothing is too difficult for you. And no amount of darkness can overcome the light. And that's our hope and that's our comfort. And we pray that you would spread that hope and spread that comfort to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, we're in a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we began the series last week, so you haven't missed much, or you might have been on Facebook and seen it as well, but we set the stage for thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, the effects in the life of a person that come when the Holy Spirit is active in them and through them. This week, we're going to begin going through what the Apostle Paul gave us, which is this list of the fruit of the Spirit. He gives this list. So last week, we introduced the idea, got started to get going on the fruit of the Spirit. But it's time to dive in and do one at a time. And verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." We'll do love today. And when I say the word love, I don't know about you, but I immediately am like, love? Love? Okay, I need a little help. I like a deep dive. I like to understand what I'm reading, but I kind of immediately go, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm not sure the Apostle Paul is helping me a lot usually, if you've read the New Testament, Paul tends to use long, long sentences, and he likes to go deep, and he likes to go out to the right, and then he'll bring in this other idea, and so you get like a lot, usually. You know, he'll kind of go on and on. But it's good. With this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and I found myself this week going, hey, so what? And then I was like, well, let me think about it. And I started to think about how the word gets used, and on Monday night, my alma mater, the University of Tennessee, had a baseball game. I know maybe not a lot of big college baseball fans. I know one or two in the room here that I was talking to about it. But it's game three of the College World Series. So whoever wins gets to be the national champion. And, you know, a little bit of a struggle for me. I'm like, man, I love when my university sports teams could win a national championship. So I tracked down the internet website. I'm listening and listening to the baseball game, trying to get some work done. It's 9:30 at night. It's 10 o'clock at night. Then it's 10:30 at night, which is getting pretty late for my personality. And it's like 10:30, I'm up, and it's like Tennessee is leading, I think it was 6-1 at some point, right? And all this stuff, all that to say, those of you who aren't baseball fans, not super interested, game goes down to the wire. I keep staying up. Well, the way I think of it is, well, I love Tennessee baseball. Like, I want to know if they win. So, like, but I don't think that's what Paul means. And then I've known other people who were like, man, I love the beaches of Cape Cod, you know, or I love the mountains of New Hampshire, or I love to travel, or I love my wife, or I love my husband, or I love my children, or I love my new job, or I love my new car. We got this word love going all around, and I'm thinking this still isn't helping me with, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because it's got all these other words, and, you know, keeping up late at night, watching base or listening to baseball arguably sounds a little bit like love, so it begins to shed light. But I just start to say, I'm not really sure I'm getting what Paul is getting at. So then I said, well, I need a little help. And I found another story in Scripture, Matthew 26. If you want to turn or scroll or swipe to Matthew 26, this helped me a little bit. This is Jesus. We're going to start in verse 36 of Matthew 26. This is Jesus. It's the night before he's crucified. So it's a pretty intense moment, but it shares a lot with us about love. So I'm going to read in verse 36 down through verse 54, probably. So verse 36. Then Jesus came with them, that's his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left the disciples again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying Jesus gave them a sign, saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" Now that's a lot. That's a lot to recognize. Let's break this into pieces. First of all, these are hard times. I made a list here, and I'll show these to you. These are hard times. This is just kind of the Ben Green summary. These are hard times. Verse 37, Jesus feels grief and distress. Verse 38 through 45, Jesus seeks support. He says to Peter and the sons of Zebedee, "Come pray with me." This is a hard moment. And instead, he gets a sense of rejection and abandonment. They don't stay awake. They don't pray with him. They're not really engaging with him. Another reason it's a hard time is he has to surrender to a hard choice. He has to say yes to the crucifixion. He's working through, like, if there's any other way, God, I'd really like that other way. This is a hard moment. But number four, Jesus gets arrested, which is part of this betrayal from another disciple. Then, next, someone loses an ear. Other people could die. You can imagine a crowd in the middle of the night showing up with swords and clubs. Like, you know, these are not friendly people. You know, this isn't the town welcoming committee who's like, "Yeah, we're just here to drop off a cake." You know, these are difficult, dark times. And lastly, part of adding to the difficulty is Jesus avoids angelic deliverance. He says, "I could have called down, you know, I could have reached out to God, my Father, and asked, and he would have given me angels to just deliver me. But I'm not doing that." So these are really difficult times. He stays in this really hard place. I start out here because as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, especially love, I want you to know that the fruit of the Spirit is not just for feel goods. It's not just to like make me smile and kind of get like this warm, fuzzy rush of like dopamine, you know, like just kind of like, "Oh, that was nice. That felt good." Just like chocolate, you know, it's just like, "Oh, that was good. Chocolate, ice cream." No, it's not just like a little pick me up. This fruit of the Spirit is something else. Christian faith is for the hard moments, for the really challenging times when you could say that could have been me. That could have been my experience. Spirit love emerges in these hard moments. Spirit love comes out. It grows in these kind of moments. It was made for these kind of moments. God's love starts to bubble up when human activity can't be enough, when people are failing and sinning and struggling in the darkness and all the rest, showing up with swords and clubs, all kinds of bad stuff. Spirit love starts to grow. I'm going to look for, there's like no children all over there. Oh, Mackenzie, would you like to pour something? I need a little help. I got, yeah. Remember me? You've helped me before. Yeah. You ready to pour something? This is called vinegar. Do you know what vinegar is? Does it smell good? Yes. It smells okay, I would say. So this is a bottle. I need you to pour some vinegar in that bottle. I'm going to help you. Go ahead. Dump, 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 dump. You think that's enough? I think life can be kind of hard sometimes. Vinegar is this sour, yucky smelling, although you like it, vinegar. Sometimes we clean the floor or the counters in our house with vinegar. Did you know that? It's kind of strong. Smells kind of... You want to smell it again? Still smell good?
It kind of smells like fuzzy.
Kind of smells like fuzzy things? Yeah, it does. Let's pour all of it in there. You ready? I'm going to put all this vinegar in there. Vinegar can... I use vinegar because it tastes kind of bad. We're not going to taste it.
Yeah.
I agree. It smells kind of bad. It's kind of bad. Sometimes things in life are kind of sad. We're going to pause right there. All right. Thank you for helping.
But why are we doing
this? That's a good question. We are doing this because vinegar, which is not so good smelling and not so good tasting, reminds us that some things in life kind of make us crinkle our nose up and make a face. They make us feel sad. They're hard. Sad experiences. So vinegar is kind of like those sad, hard experiences.
Does that make sense? Yeah? All right. You can sit down again. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we all don't need to hear more about vinegar, but there are moments in life. Even Christ had a rough encounter with a type of vinegar in his final hours. There are rough moments. Something else that I want to share that I think is newer than vinegar to most of you is, for the sake of this sermon, I'm trying to use the word spirit love as much as I can. Spirit love does not appear in the original language. So I'm not going to make up words that aren't in there. I want to honor you and just tell you that spirit love is a helpful term for me, because as I said, I was thinking through, well, what is this love? And what is Paul talking about when he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love? And I needed a new word to kind of mentally help me say, there's something different going on here. Paul is not just saying the same old kind of love that the Galatians would have talked about or I think of. So I'm using the word spirit love in place of just love, because I think Paul means something else. But I wanted you to know that I was doing that because Paul doesn't say spirit love. He just says love, okay? So there's the Bible, which says love, but there's me trying to get my head around this saying spirit love. So spirit love is this word, and it's different. If I can remember in future weeks, I'll say spirit joy, spirit kindness, spirit goodness, and so on. But for now, definitely spirit love, and it's something different. And if you think about Jesus, you might also be saying, well, I don't really see the Holy Spirit or Spirit love in Matthew 26. The Holy Spirit's never mentioned. He doesn't seem to help Jesus. He doesn't seem to speak to Jesus. He doesn't seem to work in Jesus' life. So how is the Holy Spirit part of this? Well, I got to thinking the same thing. And you can go back, Matthew 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and you start to see the Holy Spirit is all over the life of Jesus. Jesus was born because the Holy Spirit was involved in his conception through his virgin mother. So that's Matthew chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit's present there. Matthew chapter 2, some more things happen. Matthew chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew says that Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And then later he gets baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he has to be full of the Spirit in order to baptize other people with the Spirit. So he gets baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, the Spirit of God descends on Jesus like a dove and comes upon him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit from where he was out into a desert area, out into a wilderness area. So the Spirit is involved in his conception, involved in his baptism, involved in leading his life out into the desert. I'm not going to go into all the rest, but Acts chapter 10 puts everything kind of into perspective. Acts chapter 10 says that Jesus lived his life, did his miracles, served people, honored God, obeyed God, lived, loved, all these things. And all of that was done in the power of the Spirit. That's what Acts chapter 10 kind of summarizes for us, verse 37. Everything was done in the power of the Spirit. So Matthew 26 doesn't directly mention the Spirit, but the scriptures say that the Spirit was in charge of Jesus' life, was active in Jesus' life even before he was born. So this love that we see in Matthew 26 is spirit love. That's why Jesus prayed in these verses. Love for God motivated him to spend time with God. It motivated him to talk about his realities, to say, if this cup could be passed from me, if my life could change, if I didn't have to go through this, like he can have these honest conversations. His spirit love included prayer. It's an opportunity for another volunteer. Jesus has this hard situation going on in his life, but spirit love is active. Oh, got a volunteer. Fantastic. Raising hands is allowed. I'll get you next, I promise. Don't worry. So, don't worry. Here you go. So, you can pour away. So, this is water, just so you know. I'm not going to create laundry for you guys. So, this is just water, because there's the sour, bitter, difficult vinegar in the bottle. But spirit love begins to be active, and there's less of the sourness, less of the difficulty. Thank you very much. Excellent. You may clap. He can, so he'll be not only our drummer, but someday may serve you at a restaurant too with pouring skills like that. So never know. God's spirit love starts being active in our life, and we start to have more love. We start to have more faith. We start to have more joy, other things. The fruit of the Spirit grows and grows. Jesus was full of love for God, but love achieved more. I want to point out something else from Matthew 26 that you might not think of with love. The love that Jesus showed, the kind of love the Spirit's growing in him, restrained sin and restored people. You look at verse 51 and verse 52, and you'll see that the guy gets his ear cut off, right? Remember the swords, the clubs? I mean, it's like a bad situation. In real life, of course, we would think, like, well, this is what happens. People show up, they have disagreements, they get into fights like this. These kind of things go on. But Jesus is in the middle of it. And it says that Jesus healed the ear. Another scripture says Jesus healed the ear of the man that got his ear cut off. His love that grows from the Spirit motivates him to heal someone. It motivates him to relieve someone's suffering. It motivates him to show compassion. He's not focused on what's wrong in his own life. He doesn't say, listen, I'm a little busy, got this crucifixion thing coming up. My friends have been betraying me and rejecting me, and they're too tired to pray with me, even though with every, you know, he's not focused on himself. Let me heal this person that just lost their ear. This is the love of God. It's a love that cares for other people. Some of you might have heard the Greek word agape. Yes. It's a word, it's benevolent love for another person. It's love interested in meeting somebody else's needs. It's a practical, compassionate love that says, I see someone else in trouble. And in the language of God's choice, he says, I'll send my son because I see human beings' lives are a wasteland. I'll send my son. He can fix this. He can grow fruit in a desert. This means Jesus does incredible things like go to the cross for our sins. But spirit love also means Jesus cared about this servant who lost his ear. One text says he was a slave of the high priest. He's a servant. I think what that means is that he probably got dragged along. This is you at work when the boss says, we're going to go. Like, I don't think people in the middle of the night would say, you know, I got nothing to do. I think there's this Jewish rabbi in like a garden. There's a big crowd with swords and clubs. I know it's late at night in the darkness and the Tennessee Vols are on the radio playing the national championship baseball, but I'm going to go get that crowd with the swords and the clubs and we'll go out to the garden in the middle of the night and just kind of see what we can get into. Like, I don't think servants, you know, adult, you know, people would have like chosen to fall in with that crowd. They have better things to do in the middle of the night. This is all happening in the darkness, you know, middle of the night. So this servant, I think, gets dragged along by people who are orchestrating this and who are upset about this. And, you know, the servant just gets dragged along for the ride and he gets his ear cut off in the process. But Jesus reaches out and heals his ear. Jesus reaches out and shows him compassion. Jesus reaches out and meets his physical need and takes care of him. That's spirit love growing in Jesus that flows out to this man. And he says, I care enough to heal you. I know all the dishonesty and all the corruption and all the bad stuff going on, but I'm here to heal you. I care about you. I know you just got dragged along probably in this. You're not even like here to attack me. You're just a servant brought along in trouble. Spirit love restores people. If you want to grow fruit in a desert, show spirit love. I want to show you something else from this text. Spirit love also restrains sin. It doesn't just restore people. It doesn't benevolently love them, but it restrains sin. I'm sharing this because I don't want you to think that love is some pie in the sky, mushy kind of feel good thing. It's actually really practical. It's actually really earthy and active. And it restrains sin, which I think is so surprising. When the man gets his ear cut off, Jesus looks at his own disciples and says, put away your sword. Put away your sword, for those who live by the sword will die by the sword. If my, you know, grandmother or grandfather had been there, like if this had been me, my grandmother or grandfather would have been like, put that away, you're going to get yourself killed, you know? That kind of like boyish impulse that I can like run around with a wooden sword, you know? And Jesus is like, put away your sword. This is ridiculous. Stop this. And Jesus knew it was the plan of God. But Jesus also, I think, knew, like, you're cutting people's ear off who are the servant, not even like the right, like, you know, just the whole situation is just horrible defense of Jesus, if that's what you're trying to do, which he points out I don't even need because I could ask God to send 12 legion of angels and they would just take care of this. So put away your sword. He restrains sin. He speaks up in his spirit love, in holiness. He speaks up and says, enough. Stop that. Stop that kind of life. If you want to grow fruit in a desert, speak up. Speak up when people are plainly hurting themselves. It may not sound like an overflow of the Spirit's love, but it's actually what Jesus does in this situation. Put away the sword. Somebody's going to get hurt. This is foolish. It works in the real world. Friends, family, somebody doing something foolish, we can speak up and say, enough. Stop that. That is a bad choice. It works. And it's an expression of love. It's a way to have fruit growing in the desert of our lives to be saying, stop that. Stop that. You're only making more desert. Stop that. You're not helping things. We're trying to grow a garden. We're trying to increase love. We're trying to make life better. Stop what you're doing. The love of the Spirit restrains sin. It restores people. And you can bear the fruit of the Spirit. On this note of restoring people, I want to encourage you to just ask yourself a question. Do you have friends? Do you have some spiritual friendships that deserve your devotion? Do you have some people in your life that you can go to like Jesus went to and say, hey, come with me. I'm grieving. I'm distressed. I'm facing a major choice. I need somebody to come pray with me. Do you have those kind of people you could reach out to? To be really clear about it, if you saw your own crucifixion coming, not that you would, and of course you're not the Messiah, but if you saw that sort of horrible challenge looming, are there people that you could go to and say, hey, I'm about to hit a really horrible stretch of my life. I don't want to go through it alone. Do you have those kind of friends? Several months ago, I had lunch with a man in this church. I was distressed. Now, I wasn't distressed like Jesus. I don't know the Greek word for distressed. I'm not using whatever that word is. I was not distressed like that. But it was at a moment where I was like, man, I need some people to talk to. A man was kind enough, came over to the building. We had lunch together, talked about what was going on. He shared his experience. I heard that. That was a meaningful time for me. Hasn't happened since. I hope it happens again. I mean, not that I exactly want to be distressed, but if I am, then so be it. But that's what we need to pursue. Is those kind of friendships where it's like, when I need that person, there's somebody in the church, there's somebody I can call to hear from and have this kind of friendship that deserves my devotion. That person who will be there for me, pray with me, stay up late at night for me. Jesus' spirit love was stimulated by friendships. Which reminds me, as long as spirit love,
you volunteered next. Don't worry, the sermon's not even close to done, so you'll get your chance. The water. This is more water. Because the spirit love keeps on flowing. We have another future server in the making.
We might start doing communion with juice that we could pour. Because now, see, you're getting all these people who I know can pour things. This is good. There's more water in here. More and more spirit love flowing out in this story. And lastly, spirit love grows when we could access God's power, but we instead rely on his plan. I will look back at verse 53 to 54. I know you've heard a lot of verses today. Jesus, at the end of this, near the end of this experience, he says to his disciples, presumably in the hearing of the crowd with the swords and the clubs, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. How then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? A legion, by the way, is about 6,000 soldiers in Jesus' time. So 12 times 6,000, 72,000, I think. It's a lot of angels. It's a lot of soldiers. What does this have to do with spirit love? I mean, 72,000 angels coming to Jesus' rescue. That part we get our heads around. But how does this connect to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love? Well, spirit love grew in Jesus' life because he didn't take matters into his own hands. He had the right to appeal to God the Father, take control of 12 angels, and say, do what you came to do, boys. Get to work. Take care of business. Like, I mean, 72,000 angels changes the battlefield quite a bit compared to, you know, a few dozen maybe people with swords and clubs. Like, I think I could see the angels saying, well, we'll tie one hand behind our back. 72,000 of us, one hand behind our back. We won't use our wings, we promise. No miracles, just 72,000 versus the few dozen of you. It changes everything. No wonder Jesus didn't need a sword-swinging human. He's like, do you not know what I'm capable of? I mean, what I can ask for from God? I don't need one person swinging the sword around. But Jesus denied his access to God's power, and spirit love grew. He said yes to getting arrested instead of yes to angelic deliverance. He relied on God's plan, and spirit love grows. I want you to know, as you navigate obedience in your own life this week, as you go through different situations where you recognize I could use some love right now, or you had situations last week that aren't over yet, and love would be helpful in those situations, surrender increases spirit love in your life. We sang that song, Make Room, I'll Do Whatever You Want To. Remember that? Talked about surrender, I'll do what you want to, I'll do what you want to, I'll do what you want to. That was like soaking in my brain, like, I'll do what you want to. Make room, I'll do what you want to. It's that kind of surrender when spirit love can grow, because getting power to fix our own problems is temporarily set aside so that we can just trust God and rely on his plan and say, I'm going to let the Father work this one out for me. I'm going to let God be in control. I'm not going to use all the resources at my disposal. If you're dependent on God, Christ shows us, you can grow in love. Now, how do you know if you're exercising that kind of faith? How do you grow in spirit love? Well, Jesus says, let God decide how things turn out. That's what Jesus said. He knew, how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? If I take control, if I use the resources that I could legitimately ask for and do it the way I want to do it, then I won't be doing it God's way. And I know that the only way to go forward is to do this God's way, to do it in such a way that the scriptures get fulfilled, the word of God gets fulfilled. And Jesus was more interested in things going according to God's plan than he was in things working out for him. He didn't forget those six hard things I showed you, the grief, the distress, the rejection, the abandonment, wrestling through, surrender to his own crucifixion by himself without his friends to really rally around him. But he said, I want God's word to be fulfilled. I want God's plan to be fulfilled even more than I want my own issues to be worked out. He knew God loved him. He knew God would work all things together and work them all out. And he said, I'm just going to surrender. And spirit love grows in that kind of situation. Something I would ask you as I bring that up is, are there some uncomfortable surrenders that you need to make? Or when these situations come up, or if they're coming up for you, just recognize this is the trajectory of following Jesus. He went through his own surrender moment. We go through our own surrender moments. You might know that you're there if you find yourself saying, God, I don't want to do this. Or I don't want to be vulnerable in this risky, uncomfortable situation. I'd much rather take power and fix this problem and prevent my own losses and my own suffering. That's how you can sense that you're there. You can get into that and then just say, if you know it's his will, Lord, I don't like this, but I know it's your will, so I'm going to do it. When you surrender, the Spirit can lead. Remember, that's what the Spirit did in Jesus' life. Matthew 4, it led him. And it led him through this situation too. And when you increase your surrender, then Jesus becomes greater. That's what John the Baptist said. He must become greater, I must become lesser. So we surrender, he becomes greater. Spirit love grows. We decrease, but spirit love grows. And that spirit love includes surrender, which means we need a little more water. Need a little more volunteer. We're going to go easy on the water.
Server number three, future servers.
and future servers.
More and more spirit love keeps growing.
Now comes
exciting moment. I have to move over here. Don't worry, Greg, I'm not close to the microphone.
Okay.
Somebody's like, you're standing on an electrical cord with bottles of water. You're right, I'm moving over. Don't worry. Not going to get electrocuted if I can help it. Once you've gone through a situation where the love of God has grown and there's been surrender and there's been suffering and there's been all these things, but Jesus keeps surrendering, Jesus keeps obeying, Jesus keeps letting the Spirit love increase in him. He prays. He has spiritual friends. All of these things keep going. What is going to happen next? For that, I need another volunteer. Well, who has not already volunteered? Sorry to those of you. I mean, if we'll see if it somehow works out. Oh, you're being volunteered. Do you dare? It could be the best of all, quite honestly, Matthias. I think you'll be happy. This is a balloon. This balloon has something inside that was unfeeling. What do you think that is? You think it's sand? Uh-huh. Wow, that's a good guess. It does feel kind of like sand. All right, I'm going to help just a little bit. I'm going to hold it like this, but pretty soon you're going to save the whole thing. What is going on? Is that sand?
No.
No. What is it? You think I can jam my finger in it to make even more fall in the bottom? He said he has no clue when I said, should I jam my finger in it? I'm going to find out. I have health insurance. So what's going on? Health insurance, close to the hospital. It's jammed in there. That means you push harder. Your dad's an engineer, which is this kind of like job. It tells like how strong things are and how hard you can push on. It's coming out slowly. Yeah. I think it's done. You think it's done? We'll do this the hard way. It's probably for adults too. Yo-moosh! I don't think it's sand. Yeah, he doesn't either. What do you think it is? Do you have any guesses? It's a white powder.
I know it's not sugar. Sugar would be good.
You're right, it's not sugar. Baking soda, that's right. All right, thank you very much. Let's give a clap for all of our loyal, hardworking volunteers. When Jesus surrendered to God, prayer, spiritual friendships, obedience, spirit love kept growing and growing and growing. It started out with vinegar, but water and water and water, followed by some baking soda. It bubbles over. I'm not a chemist. I have no idea what happened to the vinegar. I have no idea how that happened. Like, I don't even get how the whole, right? Sorry, no science here. But I know that what God does when love grows and grows and grows is say, we know the vinegar's in there somewhere. There's the suffering and the pain and the hurt. It's in there somewhere. It didn't leave the bottle. I didn't perform some kind of magic trick and get the vinegar gone. It's in there. But the water and the water and the water, and then God's love, when he wisely plans it, when he wisely works out, his love bubbles forth, and bubbles over. God's love bubbles up so much that Jesus restores people. God's love bubbles up so much that Jesus says, stop that. Stop that. I love you. Put away the sword. I love those people too, the ones you're cutting their ears off. Like, enough. All of you. Enough. Jesus loves enough to stay up when nobody will stay up with him, all the rest of it. The love just grows and grows and grows. I want to just say that there's a chance to think about the surrender that's called for, the prayer that's called for, the friendships that's called for. We're talking about fruit growing in a desert, and we saw it. Gethsemane feels like the desert, doesn't it? Relationally, spiritually, emotionally, circumstantially. Everything about Gethsemane is like the life we don't want. And yet in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit says, I can grow up love. I was working in Matthew chapter 1. I was working in Matthew chapter 3. I was working in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm working in Matthew 26. I can grow love even in relationships, even in communities, even in moments like that. I can grow love up in those kind of moments. Spirit love is the love you want. There's all that confusion. Everybody uses the word love, all that. Spirit love is the love that you want in a world like Matthew 26. I know not everybody is horrible. I know not every moment is that bad. I know that's worse in most ways than what many of us even can imagine. But when it is hard, spirit love grows up. And I think that's why Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he lets the rest. We'll have to see how this all unfolds in future weeks. But the love Jesus has in Matthew 26 is the love you and I can have because we have the same Holy Spirit that he had. Amen. This week in the mail, the church received this magazine. I think most of you might be able to read it, but it says Healing Church Hurt. It's a picture of a cross. It says Healing Church Hurt. I've really gotten a sense. I also write stories for different Christian ministries, and church hurt has become like a word. I don't know how many of you have heard it. Church hurt has become like a term, a thing, a hashtag. You know, it's like church hurt, you know, and so now it's like a word to use, and it's like got its own insider language. I've experienced church hurt, and lo and behold, it's well known enough and common enough that it shows up on the page of a magazine. There are several more of these. We received several of these. You're welcome to take them. They're on the table as you leave by the sign-up sheets for volunteering. They're in the back on the right over there. But I think, you know, 50 years ago, I wasn't alive, but I don't imagine the word church hurt was going around. 20 years ago, I didn't hear it. 10 years ago, I didn't hear it. But I'm hearing it now. And now it's on this magazine cover. How can spirit love grow when Christian magazines talk about church hurt? How can you have spirit love even when that's the kind of thing that's showing up in the mail on Thursday, you know, opening the mail and it's like, oh, look at that. You know, that's a different sort of thing to think about. The other articles are, you know, oh, leading with humility. That sounds, you know, like what I'd expect to read. Brokenness redeemed. That sounds, you know, but here it is. Well, Jesus died to restrain sin. Jesus died to restore people. Spirit love grows to heal church hurt. You remember several weeks ago, Hallie shared a forgiveness prayer, one of our testimonies that we have during the teaching time where she comes up and talks about like this forgiveness prayer and shares how she's used it and what it's meant to her and everything. Well, forgiveness is a pretty ancient thing. Even though we have these magazine covers that are bringing up this hurt and they're real and they're legitimate and they're part of our modern landscape, forgiving other people goes all the way back to Jesus, all the way back to Matthew, saying, forgive other people. And that was 2,000 years ago. And in Matthew 26, one guy who says he follows Jesus responds to his struggles by cutting off somebody else's ear. And other people respond to their perspective by saying, we'll just betray Jesus with a kiss and arrest him and come at him in the middle of the night with swords and clubs. And in Matthew 26, some disciples say, I'm not even going to stay awake with Jesus. This magazine isn't that old, but the cover maybe could have been back then, right? Could have been 2,000 years ago. Spirit love grows in hard places. Spirit love grows in relationships where people have been hurt. Spirit love grows through training and surrender to the Spirit. That's why we're taking a deep dive. One noun at a time, one fruit of the Spirit at a time, because spirit love grows. Spirit joy will grow. Spirit kindness will grow. You don't just wake up and live Matthew 26. Jesus lived Matthew 1 and 2 and 3 and all the rest, right? Spirit was active along the way so that when the Matthew 26 came, he's ready to let spirit love overflow. by Matthew 26, he'd spent so much time with the Father, so deeply soaked in God's love, so deeply worked in and through by the Holy Spirit, that he was ready to just let Spirit love grow and Spirit love grow and Spirit love go. He was ready to love his enemies and surrender to the cross. Even when he said, I could have just called down angels. Could have just said, wipe them out. But I'm just going to love them out. Church hurt is real. All the other hurt is real. All the other ears that have been cut off in the world and all the rest of the, you know, violence and all that. It's all real. But it's not the final word when Spirit love can grow. Spirit love can prove greater. You can imagine a fruit growing in a desert. Love popping up, joy popping up, peace popping up, kindness popping up. It can happen. Imagine a world where, despite betrayals and brokenness, despite friends who fall asleep, imagine that Spirit love grows and the desert shrinks a little bit. And Spirit love grows and the desert shrinks a little bit. And people say, I don't have to do what I could do. I'm going to let God work this out. And the desert shrinks a little bit more. That's the privilege of our lives. And as we go, I'm going to pray for you and pray for myself. I invite you to pray for me. Pray for others that you know. That's a world I want to live in. A world where the desert shrinks and Spirit love grows. It's hard to imagine, but it's possible. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. You do great things. You do great things, God, and we make room for you. We make room for you to do whatever you want to. It's uncomfortable. It's unknown. But we know that your love can bubble up. Your love can grow in these kind of circumstances. We know you can do great and awesome things because you are a great and awesome God. We don't have time to preach every victorious, wonderful, earth-changing work that you've done, and that's just what we see in the pages of Scripture. It's not even what you've done that we've never heard about in Pakistan or South Korea or Mexico or all these other countries where we know you're active throughout the last several thousand years. You've always been working. You've always been doing wonderful things. Spirit love grows and the desert shrinks. And we would like that to happen here in Barnstable County, here in Cape Cod, here in our families, our homes, our streets, our jobs. We pray for that to increase. We pray that we'd be the kind of people, I pray, Holy Spirit, that each one of us would know. Do we need to surrender? Do we need some spiritual friendships? Do we need to stay up late praying? What's it going to take for your love to bubble up, to overflow in our lives? That's what we pray for in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.